For behold, this is a new day, saith the Lord your God. This is a day to move forward. It's not a time to draw back. It's not a time to pull back. But I would say this is the day that the Lord thy God hath created. And I would say this day, enter in. Press forward to the things of your God. Forget about yesterday, because those were days of heartache and lack. But this is a new day, and don't draw back. For I'm your God, and the days before you were great days. There'll be great days of plenty, great days of peace. So I would say this is the day. Press into the things of the Lord your God. For truly I've established this day and greater days to you. So go forth in the name of the Lord your God for better and better and better days to come.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Woo! Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You look good today.
Amen.
Why don't you tell somebody, say, you look good. Come on, tell them. Go ahead, tell them, even if you got to tell them in faith. Amen. Come on now. But God is so good, and His mercy endure forever and forever and forever and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel good. How many of you feel good today? Come on now. I know we don't go by feelings, but guess what? I feel good. I feel a James Brown anointing coming on, the Godfather of soul. Wow! I feel good. Come on now.
Amen.
But 2 weeks ago, I was a walking dead man. 2 weeks ago, this time, I had a massive heart attack. They did a catheterization, had two major blockages. But guess what? They fixed it. And guess what? I'm back. Hallelujah. My God, your God, our God is a mighty, 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 mighty God. Hell said, you're going out. I said, no, devil, I'm not going out. I'm going to shout hallelujah, because I know that my God is still a mighty God. I know that my God is a powerful God. My God is a mighty, powerful God. Amen. That was weak. Try it again. Amen. Oh, God is so good. God, I wish I had the time to talk about how God worked some supernatural miracles. It was so bad. I'm talking about the blockages of my heart were so bad. And located in a place of my heart, Roanoke Carillion. And that's a great hospital, but they didn't want to touch it. They said it's too bad, too rough, too tough. And so my daughter Googled, who is the best cardio surgeon on the East Coast? And she found out that Dr. Michael Ragazzo from the UVA Medical Center is the best. And so guess what? I said, I want to get transferred there.
Amen.
Well, guess what? You don't know who you're going to get, what surgeon. But I said, Father God, you said asked, and you shall receive. I want him. I want him. When I got up, they said, sir, your cardio surgeon is going to be, guess what? Dr. Michael Ragazzo. He'd been voted for the last 9 years one of the top 10 cardio surgeons in America. That's pretty good. You see, I always want the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. Amen. And guess what God has for you? The best of the best of the best of the best. Now, I was talking to Pastor Todd earlier about January the 1st. Aren't you excited about January the 1st?
Yes.
Now, I don't make New Year's resolutions, because most people that make them January the 1st, they break them by what? January the 2nd. Come on now. But I do make fresh commitments, fresh dedications. Lord, I'm going to serve you in a greater way. I purpose to live for you in a greater way. How many of that's okay? I'm talking about January, the first January. I say, you go to any fitness center in the valley, guess what? They're packed. I mean, you can't get on any machine. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about every cardio machine, everything. You can't get on. But you go there February the 2nd, guess what? You shoot a cannonball through there and hit nobody. Come on now. But let's make some fresh commitments. January the 1st. But I was talking to him about, now this is not my message. Can have one extra moment. Come on now. Would you turn please to Genesis, the book of beginnings. The book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 8. I was praying about the coming year, the coming season we're getting ready to walk into. How many of we're ready to walk into something great? And I'm already determined I'm going to have an amazing year. Come on now. But January the 1st, what is that all about? Notice, please, Genesis chapter 8, verse 5. This is talking about Noah. Noah and his family, seven others, eight. There was Noah, there was Miss Noah, there was the three sons and their wives, eight. And eight is the number what? New beginnings. And so here in Genesis chapter 8, verse 5, we find where the ark, Noah's ark, it came to rest upon the top of Mount Ararat. Notice, please, Genesis 8, verse 5. And the waters decreased continually unto the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. The Amplified says, the tops of the hills. But let's notice from the King James Version, on the 10th month, the first day. Now, what in the world is that talking about? The 10th month of the first day. Now, here in Genesis chapter 5, we're talking about the 10th month, the first day. Now, in the Bible, the Old Covenant, they go by the Hebrew calendar, which is the calendar that Israel uses today. But we do not go by the Hebrew calendar. We go by the Gregorian calendar, okay? And January the 1st is the same as the 10th month of the first day. So in other words, and the waters decrease continually into January the 1st. And on January the 1st, guess what the Bible says? And all the tops of the mountains were seen. And God said, son, get ready, because as the church moves, I'm not talking about one group here and one group there, but as the church, the body of Christ worldwide, as the church moves over in this time frame during the first, he said, all the tops, and that's the best, all the tops of the mountains will be seen. I said, Lord, what's going to be seen? And the Lord said, son, he said, January the 1st, get ready, because you are going to see, and my church is going to see what? The tops of the mountains. What kind of mountains? He said there's going to be the tops of the mountains of repentance, of restoration, of reconciliation, of restitution, of revival, oh yeah, of revelation, and of reward. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to see some great things in the Lord? Come on, say amen. Now, how do you see? You want to see clearly. You want to see perfectly. Guess what? We want to see with what? 2020 vision. Hallelujah. And January 1st, 2020, we're going to see with perfect vision the tops of all the mountains. What God has prepared for you and you and you. How many of God's got some great things ahead? Come on, shout amen. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Pastor Todd, I love you. I bless you. Stretch your hands toward our pastor. Come on now. And say, Father God, I bless our pastor. Bless him, Father God, like never before. In this coming year, let him receive more and more. More and more by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I feel good. Now, I woke up early this morning. I'm an early riser. I am. 3 o'clock comes early every morning. It does. It does. I don't get up at three, but it does come early. Come on now. But I got up early this morning. The Lord said, son, I want you to tell my people today that this is the time of fulfillment. Come on. I said, this is the time of fulfillment. Everybody shout fulfillment. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about there's some things God has promised you. There's some prophetic words that have been spoken over you. And many of you haven't seen them come to pass yet. But God said to tell you, get ready, get ready, get ready. Honey, that's not a T.D. Jakes, that's the Holy Ghost. He said, get ready, get ready, get ready. Why? Because this is the time. These are the days of fulfillment. And I believe you're about ready to see some of the things that God has promised you. Some of the things that God has spoken to you individually and as this church collectively. This is the time, Pastor Todd, of fulfillment. How many of God said it? He'll do it. If he spoke it, it will come to pass. Come on, shout amen, amen, amen. You can count on God's word. I said you can count on God's word. Let's try this side. I said you can count on God's word. Woo, hallelujah. I was just in Texas. I love Texas. Now, really from the Holy Land, Alabama. Come on now. But now I live in Salem. Pastor was talking earlier about Melchizedek, the priest of Salem. He used to be the priest of Salem. Today, I am. Hallelujah. But I was out in Texas sometime back, and a lady stood in the congregation. And she said, Brother Johnston, could I say a word? Oh, that could be dangerous. Come on now. And I said, what is it, honey? She said, the last time you were here a year ago. She said, you called me up to the front. You said, would you come up here, please? I didn't know her. And I called her up, and she said, I stood before you for a moment. And you were quiet. You were silent. You didn't say a word. Miracles. Hallelujah. And I just stood there. She said, it seemed like eternity. But in reality, no more than about a minute. She said, you just stood there. And then she said one word. I said one word. I said, restoration. Then I paused for about another minute. I said, God said that to you, that in 9 days, he is going to bring you restoration. He's going to answer your prayer. Now she said, when I spoke those words, she said, there's a lot of things I've been praying about. She said, but I didn't know exactly what you were talking about. And I didn't either. I was just the messenger. But day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, on the 9th day, she has a phone call. Hello. It was her daughter. She had not talked to her daughter in 20 years. She knew by the Spirit of God her daughter was still alive, but she didn't know where her daughter was, where she lived. But the phone call came in. Her daughter said, Mama, Mama, Mama. Yes, baby, what is it? She said, I know when I was in college, I was stupid. I was rebellious. I was belligerent. And I was so wrong. I did you wrong, Mama? Will you forgive me? She said, baby, I forgave you on day one. You see, this mama for 20 years had been believing God. For 20 years. Honey, don't you give up on the word of the Lord. For 20 long years, the Lord said, don't worry, she's coming back. Don't worry. Now, honey, some of you would have gave up after 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. But guess what? It doesn't matter if God has put a word in your heart and he's not put an expiration date on it. Don't you either. Come on now. But the daughter said, Mama, I was wrong, but Mama, no, I've got 2 daughters and they're in college themselves and they're rebellious and wild and crazy. Kind of like you were. Come on now. But Mama, can I come see you? Mama, can I come? She said, baby, come on. And a few days later, guess what? The daughter comes with her husband and the 2 daughters, and all 4 got saved. Hallelujah. Oh, come on now. I'm talking about God's word. You can count on the word of the Lord. Come on, shout amen. You can count on God's word. You better get ready, my brother. You better get ready, my sister. You better get ready because God told me early this morning, it wasn't 3, but it was about 4:30. He said to tell you that these are the days. This is your time of fulfillment. I'm to believe that. Come on, shout amen. Woo! I'm ready to preach. Hallelujah. Would you turn, please, to the book of Joshua? Joshua. Joshua. I'm going to do my best not to preach long today. Because blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be heard again. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Let's have a little bit of Bible testing, first of all, before we get into God's word. Now, when the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage under the leadership of Moses, now they were on the way to the promised land. But when they got to the border of the promised land, Moses sent out a number of spies. What was the total number of the spies that Moses sent out? What was the total number? How many? 12. That's great, 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 great. How many came back with a good report? 2. Wonderful. What are their names? Amen. Joshua and Caleb. How many came back with an evil report? 10. What were their names? It's in the book. But guess what? Nobody knows and nobody cares. Amen. But thank God for Joshua and Caleb. Notice, please, Joshua chapter 14. If anybody could name the 10 evil spies, guess what? Pastor Ty will buy you the best dinner in town. Come on now. Hallelujah. Woo. Haven't preached in 3 weeks. I'm getting antsy. Here it is. Everybody shout, help him, Lord. Oh, somebody's still finding your places there. But let me say this. I love you, the saints of Christian growth. Love Pastor Todd and founding pastor, Pastor Rob, and all you, the staff and the leadership of the church. I love you. I pray that this year will be a great year for you. I pray the best of heaven will rest upon you this year. Joshua chapter 14, one verse of scripture, verse number 12. Now therefore give me, what's the next two words? Come on, shout it out loud. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, those were the giants. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. On a minister for just a few moments along these lines, where are you in regards to the promised land? Where are you in regards to the promised land? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life-giving. Your word is life-changing. Father, I believe that today, because of your word, we will never, ever be the same again. We thank you now. We bless you. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Tell somebody, say, you better get ready. Come on, tell them. You better get ready. I say, where are you in regards to the promised land? I'm talking about the promised land, Canaan land. You see, Canaan land is a land of promise. This promised land is a land of covenant. And mark it out, our God is a covenant-keeping God. If God said it, he will do it. If he spoke it, it will come to pass. I'll say it again and again. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. God said in his word, I will never break my covenant with thee. God said in his word, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone from my lips. God said in his word, I will ever be mindful of the covenant that I have with thee. He's a covenant keeping God. And the promised land was a land of covenant, a land flowing with milk and honey. Thank God for the promised land. And know this, all the promises of God in him are yea in him. Amen. And guess what? And I'm not taking no for an answer. Hallelujah. But when it comes to the promised land, there are four kinds of people in their approach to the promised land. Back then and even today. There are four kinds of people. Who are they? Number one, there are those who doubt the word of God and they never enter into the promised land. There are those who are called almost, it's just enough for me. And the third group is, well, whatever will be, will be. And the fourth group, they're the word warriors. Everybody shout, I'm a word warrior. But there's the four groups of people, the four different kinds of people in their approach to the promised land. First of all, there are those who doubted God and doubted the word of God. And guess what? They never entered into the promised land. Now, what do you mean? Because back in Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14, we find where the 12 spies came back from spying out the promised land. But first of all, the evil report came first. I mean, the 10 spies said, oh yes, it's a good land. It's a great land. It's full of milk and honey. But, we can't do it because there are giants in the land. And they say, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. What did they do? Did they ask the giants, what do we look like? Come on now. I'm talking about the 10 spies. Says, there is no way. There is no way. How many of we got the same descendants today? Said, it's never going to happen. It's never going to work out. It's never going to transpire. The Bible says those 10 men came back and they brought forth an evil report. What kind of report? An evil report. Now, what is an evil report? Anything that is contrary to the Word of God. Anything that is contrary to the report of the Lord. Now, I've got some friends of mine, Steve and Becky Fender, and they pastor in San Antonio, Texas. And you may know some of the songs, some of the music by Becky. But a number of years ago, Becky was attacked with cancer. And the doctors told Becky, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. There's nothing we can do about it. Guess what that was? There was an evil report. And every day Becky would look and see that cancer. And she would hear that hideous evil report saying, there's nothing we can do about it. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. But one morning, Becky looked at that hideous cancer and heard the words of the doctor saying, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But all of a sudden, she heard another word, another report. And the Lord says, whose report are you going to believe? And Becky said, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I'm healed. And she went to the next room and wrote that song we've sung so well. And I'm asking the question, whose report are you going to believe? We're going to believe what? The report of the Lord. Those 10 spies says, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it. But all of a sudden, guess what? Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite of the tribe of Judah, Caleb spoke and said, wait a minute. Don't sin against God by doubting God. We're more than able to go forth and take the land because God said. Come on, say that. God said. Now what? God said. He didn't say Joshua said. He didn't say Moses said. He said we're more than able to go forth and take land. Why? Because what? God said we're going to. But when he said that, what did the people do? They said, yay! Let's follow Caleb. No. But the Bible says they picked up stones ready to stone Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they doubted the word of God. And because they doubted the word of God, guess what? Moses spoke the word of the Lord, said, because you doubted God, you spent 40 days spying out the land, and for the next 40 years you're going to wander around and around and around in the wilderness, and you'll never enter in except for Joshua and Caleb and their descendants. And guess what? For 40 years, guess what they did? I got a new puppy. Hallelujah. One of my precious dog, Charlie, went to heaven back in June. My big old butt, Charlie. Little Shih Tzu. And I got a new one, Asher. That's a good biblical name. Come on now. And Asher is going, reminds me of some of those Israelites. But how many people, they doubt the word of God? I know God said this, but I know God said this, but I know God said this, but I'm going to forget about the buts. Come on now. You need to believe what God Almighty has to say. And Caleb said, we're more than able to go forth and take blame. Why? Because God said, come on, say it again. God said, it doesn't matter what the lawyer said, what the banker said, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker said. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God said. And that's the first group. And so many people today, they're like those wandering in the wilderness. I mean, God said you're going to be blessed. God said there's greater things for you. God said get ready because I've ordained great and powerful things on your agenda. But they said, yeah, but there are giants in the land. Honey, forget about that. There may be giants in the land, but guess what? Greater is he that's within you than he that is in the world. Come on, shout amen. You can find all of these four groups in the entirety of Joshua chapter 14. These four groups are all mentioned. And there's a second group I call that almost is enough for me. How many bits of people like that? Come on now. I know God said there's a hundredfold, but I'll just stop right here. I know God said there's a 60-fold, but I'll stop right here, honey. Almost is only good in horseshoes and hand grenades. Come on now. Almost. Now, for 40 years wandering in the wilderness, how many know there were some kings and some nations that came against Israel in the wilderness? Come on now. But guess what? God was with Israel, and they destroyed these kings and these nations. And because of that, guess what? They were able to take the land. They took the land. They conquered on the way there. But here was this time to enter into the promised land after 40 years. They were ready to cross over Jordan into the promised land. But there were 2.5 tribes that said, well, I know there's a whole lot more for me on the other side of the river. I know there's something a whole lot better. I know there are greater things, greater blessings, greater glory. But we'll just stop right here. We'll settle right here in the land we've conquered. There are 2.5 tribes. There's the half tribe of Manasseh. There's the tribe of Reuben. And there's the tribe of Gad. Everybody say Egads. I mean, there was the half tribe of Manasseh, Reuben and Gad. And they said, well, enough is enough for me. How many of you got so many people in the church world that are saying the same thing? I know God's got more for me, but I'm not going to keep on pressing on. I know there's more for me, but I'm not going to push on. I know there's more for me, but I'm not going to keep on striving. Honey, you got to keep on keeping on keeping on. Because almost may look good, but because almost is not God. Because almost can get you in big time trouble. Now, in the very center of Israel, the very center was what? Was Jerusalem. Now, what was in Jerusalem? It was the mighty temple of God. Solomon's temple built, the beautiful temple of God. But what was in the temple? Oh, so many great things. But what was the focal point of the temple? It was what? The Holy of Holies. It was what? The Spirit of God. The presence of God. The Shekinah glory of God. Okay? But what was the furthest point of all the tribes away from the Spirit, the presence, the Holy of Holies? Where's the furthest point? It was what? It was the tribe of what? Gad. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where did Jesus do the majority of all of his deliverance ministry? Casting out devils. The majority of all his deliverance ministry was where? Done where? In the land of what? The Gadarenes, in the land of Gad. And the further you get away from the presence of God, the further you get away from the Spirit of God, you open yourself up to the wrong kind of stuff. Come on, say amen. So I would say, don't stand back. Don't be almost, but you need to press on in. Come on now. I'm talking about get as close as you can. Wrap yourself around the loving arms of God. I'm talking about I want to be right there in the bosom of the Father. What about you? Come on, shout amen. But most people sat to say today, well, whatever, almost is enough for me. I'll just settle for a few crumbs on the table. I'll settle for a little cabin in the corner of glory land, honey, not me. But I'm talking about, I want it all. I want it all. Come on. I want everything my God has for me. Come on, what about you, church? There's more and more and more and more in store for you. Get ready, because God said it's even at the door. Hallelujah. But there is the group that wandered around that didn't believe God. There's the group who said, well, almost is enough for me. But there's the third group, I'll call it with a, well, what will be, will be. Just whatever comes my way. Just, I remember some people like that, come on now. They've got no zeal about them, no gusto about them. Come on now. I'm talking, well, whatever will be. No, what do you mean? Because hear the word in Joshua chapter 14. And Joshua, the leader now, Moses, had gone on. And Joshua, he was passing out the land, the promised land, by lot. Now, how was that? It's like reaching the proverbial, hat. He reached in and pulled out a name. Simeon. The tribe of Simeon gets this portion of the promised land. He reached on another and pulled out Dan. Dan gets this portion of the promised land. He reached on another one. Zebulun, you get this portion of the promised land. So, well, guess what? They were getting their portion by lot, by chance, by fate. Whatever was given to them. Oh, how many people today that say, well, whatever will be, Whatever, honey, that's not me. They said, whatever will be. No, honey, not me. It's up to me. Come on now. And I'm not going to settle for less than the best. Come on now. But so many people, they're like that. But thank God there's another group. I call that the Word Warriors. And Pastor Todd, guess what? I'm looking at some Word Warriors today. How many of you are Word Warriors? Come on and shout amen. Word Warriors. Well, they pulled out by lot. Zebulun and Simeon and Dan and Asher. And Judah! It's time for Judah to receive their portion of the promised land. All of a sudden, I believe verse 6. All of a sudden, Joshua 14, verse 6. Caleb spoke up, said, No. He said, I'm not going to let you decide for me what is good for me. There it is. Then the children of Judah, look at it. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephthah, the Kenizzite, said to him, No. I'm not letting you decide what's going to be my portion. He said this, thou knowest the thing, but what? The Lord said. Come on, say that, please. The Lord said, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and being Kadesh Barnea. Now, what's he talking about? He said, Joshua, we spied out the land. And I spied out a certain portion of the land. And Moses told me, the servant of God, Moses said, Caleb, the Lord said, the portion you spied out, read in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, the portion you spied out, God said, come on, say it again. God said, come on, say it again. God said, the portion you spied out, God said that portion would belong to you. He said, so therefore, I'm not going to settle for whatever you want to give me. I'm not going to settle for what will be. Well, by chance, by fate, no. He said, I'm going to go forth and receive what God said. Come on, say that, please. God said. And from verse 6 all the way down to verse 12, guess what? Five times. How many times? Five times. Caleb said, God said. What happened? God said. Look at verse 12 again, please. Verse 12. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Here it is. Two times in this verse, he said that. Two times in this verse. Look at it. Now, therefore, give me what? Say it again. Say it again. One more time. He didn't say, give me a bump of the land. He didn't say, give me a tiny hill. He didn't say, give me a molehill. What did it say? No, what mountain was that? What portion was that? Now, you can read in the next verse, verse number 13, that Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron. Everybody shout Hebron. Has anybody ever been to Israel here? Anybody? Okay, we got one. Anybody else? God's moving. You're going. Hallelujah. But anyhow, if you look at Israel, the finest, the best, the choicest, the most richest, the most fertile land of all of Israel is what? The Hebron Highlands. Come on now. And that's what Caleb said, I want. He didn't say, I don't want the desert portion. I don't want the rocky portion. He said, I want the best of the best of the best of the best. What do you want? What, church? The best. Hebron. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 12 again. He said, what? Now. Everybody shout now. He said, I'm not a wait till tomorrow. He said, that's too late. Right now, I want it. He said, now, therefore, give me what? This mountain. You see the trouble of many people today? They want a little bit more. They're not being specific about what they want. He didn't say, give me any old mountain. But that's what he said. I want this mountain. I want this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the giants, the Anakims, were there, and that these cities were great and fenced. But if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. What? As the Lord said. But you see, he was being specific. He said, Joshua, no. I want what? This mountain. How many people today, they're not specific? Sometimes I'm in a prayer line, people pray with people, and I say, well, what do you want? And I said, well, whatever God wants. I said, I didn't ask what God wants, but what do you want? Come on. How many bad people like that? What do you want? Well, whatever. Not Caleb. He said, this mountain. You got to be specific. How many of you know some things God has promised you? Come on now. I'm talking about God said, I'll do this and this. Is, honey, don't you dare give up, but continue to look up. And when you look up, guess what the Bible says? Turn to the Lord with words. Come on now. God, you said. The Bible says to put me in remembrance. God, you said. Hallelujah. Don't be a person of generalities, but be specific. Reminds me of a woman while I was ministering in the state of Kentucky. Had a big old prayer line praying for this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. I finally came to this one lady and I said, what is it, honey? Now, let me back up right before the service. Somebody came to me and they gave me a Pentecostal handshake. Does anybody know what a Pentecostal handshake is? Let me see hands. That's somebody, they'll shake your hand. And they'll leave some there, and it's not lint. Come on now. They'll leave a check or a bill, whatever. And they shake my hand for 30. I look, it was $100 bill. Whoa, thank you, Lord. And they blessed me with $100 bill. I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now there's a couple of CDs I wanted to buy. I said, thank you, Lord. So here was in that prayer line by the Todd. I came to this one lady. I said, honey, what do you need? She said, more money. I said, okay, but tell me exactly what do you need? She said, more money. I said, I know that, but tell me what did she said, more money. So I reached in my pocket, I pulled out a quarter and I gave it to her. I said, rejoice, your prayer has been answered. Hallelujah. I started to walk away. She kind of grabbed my sleeve. She said, wait. I said, what, honey? She said, that's it. I said, you told me you wanted more money. God bless you. Just get a happy rejoice. She got it. She said, that's not what I need. I said, well, honey, you said you need more money. I know, but that's not. I said, then tell me, what is it that you need? She said, Brother Danny, if I'd have $1,200 by tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and the sheriff is coming, I'm going to be evicted, and I've got nowhere to go. And I said, don't worry. He is Jehovah Jireh. He'll meet your need. He will provide for you. And I said, just thank him for it. I started to walk away. God said, give her $100. I said, Lord, have you got plan B? He said, I gave that to you to give it to her. I said, but Lord, he said, give her the $100 bill. I said, okay, back up again. I said, here. I said, the Lord told me to give you this. Be blessed. And know this, God is going to provide the rest. The other 1,100 is on the way. Amen. Well, the next morning, she gets a call from a friend of hers about 8:30 in the morning. She was passing through her area coming from Hazard, Kentucky. Are you familiar with Hazard, Kentucky? The Dukes of Hazard, come on now. Well, she was coming from her home in Hazard, went right through her area, and she called her. She said, you know, I was thinking about you this morning. I was thinking about maybe coming by to see you. She said, well, you better hurry. Come on now. And so she comes and sees a friend. She sits down and talk for a moment. And she said, you know, the Lord spoke to me on the way here and says, he wants me to bless you with all the money I've got on me. Does anybody know how much money she had on her? $1,100. Come on now. She said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. She gave the $1,100. And guess, as soon as she gave the money, guess what? There was a knock at the door. Woo! I said, there's a knock at the door. Guess what? He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is Jehovah Nisi. But guess what? He's also Jehovah Nick of time. He'll show up in the nick of time. Come on, shout amen. Hallelujah. Oh, how many know he's my God, your God like that? He's always on time. Hallelujah. Woo! We'll put our faith in order. But guess what? She gave him the $1,200. Now, after she gave the $1,200, how much money did she have left? A quarter. Why is that? Because he's still the God of more than enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody, come on. But Caleb said, give me what? This mountain. And the next verse, put verse 13 again on the screen. He said, give me this mountain. The Bible says, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. You can read in the writings of Josephus, the ancient historian. Now, when Caleb blessed him with Hebron, did Caleb sit back? When Joshua blessed Caleb with Hebron, did Caleb just sit back and say, well, bless God? I believe I'll wait the next month to get started on this project. I believe I'll wait the next week to go and claim my inheritance. No. But history tells us that very day, that very moment, as soon as Joshua blessed him, guess what? He was 85 years of age at the time. Ooh, come on, shout amen. I'm not quite that old. I'm right 68. But he was 85 years of age at the time. And he took off for the mountain of his inheritance. Hebron, the best of the best. I can see him right now by the time. He was going up that mountain with a talent deed in one hand and a sword in the other. He said, it's my backup, guys. I'm on the way. And guess what? He went forward, hallelujah, with the title deed in one hand and the sword in the other, and he drove out those giants. There's three. Who were those giants? Those are the same giants that he saw 40 years before on the top of the mountain. Who were those giants, beloved? Who were they? Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something about those giants. Oh, those three giants, who were they? I mean, can I find it? Come on. Everybody should hear it. The three giants were called Sheshaiah, Ahiam, and Talmai. Those three giants, their names mean, who am I? What am I? And what can I do? And you're going to meet your giants, but guess what? Hell's going to rise up and say, don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I am? Don't you know what I can do? But guess what? It does not matter, because you're a word warrior. You're a word warrior. And God said it. Come on, shout amen. God said it. Come on, shout it. God said it. And guess what? If God said it, that settles it. It shall be done. Come on, shout amen. Well, raise your hands up high and begin to praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! I'm a word warrior. I'm a word warrior. I'm a word warrior. Hallelujah. I feel a shout coming on. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm Pentecostal. Hallelujah. Woo! Sometimes I'll run and nobody's chasing me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Raise your hands up high and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You said it. And that's all that matters. You said it. And that's enough for me. Amen. Just put on some soft promise land music. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why did Caleb receive that mountain? Why? Because what? God said. God said. God said. God said. I could talk about that for all day long. God said. I could have died. But you know what? I didn't die 2 weeks ago. Guess what? Because God said. I preached in 49 to 50 states. And God spoke to me by his spirit in times of devotion and also prophetically. People didn't know me. They didn't know how many states I preached in before. God said, you will preach in all 50 states. And God, I've never been to Alaska. I've been to the states many times. He said, before the coming of the Lord, he said, you'll preach the gospel. That's one of my personal desires. And guess what? I haven't preached that. So guess what? I'm still here. Come on, shout amen. Amen. What about David? What about David? I close with this. What about David? David went against Goliath. But why was David not slain in the battlefield? Somebody said because he was anointed, yes. Because he's a praiser, yes. Because he had a covenant with God, yes. But why was David not slain on the battlefield? Because what? Because God said. God said the chapter before, God said, your rule and reign, your seed. Your rule and reign, your seed will rule forever upon the throne of Israel. And guess what? David was meant to go for it. But what? Because God said. Come on, say that. God said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3. Then the fiery furnace. But why were they not burned up? Why were they not crispy critters? Why? Because these three men of God had access to the Word of God. They had access to the Scriptures. And 100 years before they were thrown into the furnace, Isaiah the prophet wrote, Isaiah 53 verse 2, when thou walkest to the fire, thou should not be burned. Why? Because God said. I can give you example after example. And know this, church, if God said it, that's all that matters. God said, I will bring healing, restoration to your body. God said, I will restore your marriage. God said, I'll save your children. God said, I will deliver your grandchildren from addictions. God said, I'll get you out of debt. God said, I'm going to turn that situation around. God said, I will raise you up. God says, don't worry, my son. Don't worry, my daughter. It may look rough and tough, but don't worry, because the days before you will be days of more than enough. Hallelujah. God said. How many believe that? Come on, shout amen. Amen.